So if you have your Bibles, and I'm trusting that you do, would you open up to Mark chapter 4? We started last week part 1 of the parable of the seed and the sower, and today is part 2. Sorry, John, I know this is probably making a ton of noise. Mark 4. Did I say Mark 1?
No.
Oh, I did say Mark 4? Okay, because somewhere in my head I thought I might have said Mark 1. Last week we talked about the parable of the seed and the sower, the seed that fell by the roadside and the enemy came and took it, and we said we do have an enemy. And then we talked about the seed that went on the hard ground. It's a hardened heart. We're responsible for that. And we need to take care of the hardened ground so that the seed can come in. And then we talked about the seed that caught up in the thorns and the cares of this world robbed that seed from bearing fruit. And today we're talking about the seed that fell on the good soil, the 30, 60, 100. And so right now I'm at Mark 4, 8. So we'll just get right to the ones that we're looking at this morning. And other seeds fell onto the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. And Jesus gives us the interpretation in verse 20 of that parable. And he says, "And those are the ones whom the seed was sown on the good soil. And they heard the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold." Now, we looked at this last week, we are supposed to bear fruit. When we talked about the thorns, we talked about it is imperative that we bear fruit. And so now we're looking at these different quantities of fruit that we can be bearing. And I'm going to tell you, when we had the kids recite to you this morning, the fruit of the Spirit. And when we're talking about fruit, we are talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, some of you may be sitting in your pews and you're going, "I'll never do anything great for God. I'll never be a Billy Graham or any of those things." And I'm telling you, that is not what God is looking for in you. And that is not even what God is looking for in Billy Graham. Yes, those works are important. God inspired and put it in the hearts of men to do great things for him. But what God is looking for is the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And he wants that in you all the time. And so when we look at bearing fruit 30, 60, 100 fold, this morning we're going to take that thought that this is what God is looking for in us to the next level. I want to bear 100 fold. I want to bear 100 fold. And the fruit of the Spirit is not works. And it doesn't matter who you are, you should be bearing the fruit of the Spirit. The love, joy, peace, long-suffering, peacefulness. I don't know how I managed it, John, but I got a knot in it now. We need to be in our Bibles. This whole parable is based on the Word of God. And I'm going to go on a tirade about this. I know I'm getting emotional and it may make you uncomfortable, but people, hear me. Of all the things I've ever preached, get in the Word of God. Every great revival that this world has ever seen was sparked by the Word of God, by obedience to the Word of God. People getting into the Word and saying, "This is what it's saying. We need to change. We need to reform. And we need to be in the Bible." And I am feeling so overwhelmed that I want a Bible reading revival. Can you say amen with me?
Amen.
Martin Luther was struck by the words of Romans, "The just shall live by faith," and thus started the Reformation and brought the church out of the dark ages. And do you know what followed that? The Reformation sparked unbelievable faith and revival in God's Word. It was the reading of the Bible. And Martin Luther pushed for people, read your Bibles, read it for yourselves. In North America, the big revival of the revival of Pentecost was sparked by a man named Parham, and he had his students come together because he heard about this speaking in tongues, and he says, we need to know, is this for real? Is this scriptural? Because if it's scriptural, we need it. And as they read the Bible, they learned, and they spent days fasting and praying. They spent days just searching the scripture. Is speaking in tongues biblical? Not only did they come out with it being biblical, but they also came out with the idea that it was necessary. And then sparked this huge revival. And you heard of the Azusa Street Revival, and that was sparked from this, and it was sparked from reading the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. If you're not getting the word, your faith is going to be cramped up. It's going to be like the thistles and the thorns. It's going to be blocking it out. 2 Kings chapter 22 talks about when Judah was in a very apostate state. And preceding this was a lot of idolatry and bad stories of evil kings and what they did. Some of them were killing the priests of God because the priests of God were telling them that what they were doing was wrong. And what happened was, is they ended up murdering the priests, and the priests would hide the word. They knew that the word of God was important, and they hid it so that the kings wouldn't burn the holy scrolls and take away the power of the church. And an 8-year-old child became King Josiah. And they found the law. They were rebuilding the temple. And they found the Bible. I know, that just makes me go, what? They found the law. And they brought it to the king, and they began to read it to him. And this sparked the greatest reform that Judah saw until Judah went apostate again after they turned away from the word yet again. But Josiah was deeply moved. Deeply moved. He fasted, he prayed, he rent his clothes, and he says, we have not been keeping the word. And he instituted laws and reform in Israel and got, or Judah, and got Judah back on track serving the Lord. It's sparked by the reading and studying of the word of God. It is the catalyst for any revival. You can have revival of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you can. But it is dangerous ground if you do not know the Word of God. And that's what happens a lot of places. They got so moved, and it was exciting, and it was wonderful. But the enemy moved in, and you will not recognize his false doctrine if you do not know the truth. And you have to have the foundation of the Word of God. You're going to be swept away by somebody on television that's going to tell you, and it sounds good, but it's going to be telling you lies mixed with truth. And then pretty soon you're off the pathway that God has called you to. And you're following doctrines of demons in no time because you cannot leave the truth. You need to be grounded in the truth. Charles Ryrie. A great man of God. I have a study Bible, and I absolutely love it. And he pushes for people to get into their Bible. I think you need to pray for revival, yes. But I think you need to be in the Word. And I think as much as we pray for revival and a move of the Holy Spirit, we need to pray that God's people get into the Word of God. It's His book. It's about Him. Why do you find it so hard to read? We see a serious decline. There was a study, Huntley Street did this. I was going to have the video up, but I couldn't find it a second time. There's a serious decline in North America on Bible reading. This was the study, a serious decline. Here's the other scary part about this study. Not only are people reading their Bible less, they're believing it less. Christian churches founded on the Word of God are no longer saying that this is the inerrant, authoritative Word of God. This is scary times. And I do not want us to get caught up in that nonsense. They found with this study, just to support my point that revival comes from the Word of God, they found that people who do not read their Bibles fall away from church attendance and from speaking to others about God. They found that there was a tendency among the 30% sad. From the 30% that did read their Bibles, they were the most likely to attend church on a regular basis. They were the most likely to raise conversations with friends and family about God. In other words, something was happening in them. The fruit, and out of the fruit comes the works. I think, honestly, that if we were in the Word, revival is inevitable. It's inevitable. But we need to do more than just read the Bible. We need to respond to the Bible. Mark 4:24, it's just a little further down than what we're reading, and Jesus puts this tag on to this discussion about the Word of God. Being a lamp, it has to be shone. And then he talks about, take care what you listen to. And people, more than in the days of Jesus, we need to take care what we listen to. Because there is unbelievable amount of knowledge and words being spoken. Take care what you listen to. By your own standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him shall more be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. You see, as we look at the 30, 60, 100-fold, I'm going to tell you, as much power and authority you allow the Word to have over you and over your life is as much as God is going to allow it to work in your life as well. Charles Ryrie wrote this, those who respond in truth receive more. Those who don't lose what they had. Hebrews 4:2, indeed we had the good news preached to us just as they also, but the word they had heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard it. We need to respond to the Word of God, not just read it, not just hear it, respond to it. Believe it, take it as the authority and allow it to speak into you. If the Bible says don't do something, then don't do it. If the Bible says do this, then do it. But it's bigger than that. There's so many things. If the Bible says God is the ruler seated on the throne high above all authority and powers, God is on the throne. Amen. And so this goes beyond correction. I had just, before I go there, I just want to repeat something that I said last Sunday, and it just is so connected to the need to respond. Hebrews says so many times in chapters 4 and I think again in 3, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. That says to me, we need a response. Something should be happening. The power that the Word of God has in your life is directly related to your response to the Word. I'm going to say that one more time. The power that it has in your life is directly related to your response, your faith. James 1:21-25. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls. For anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man that looks his natural face in a mirror, and once he's looked at himself and goes away, he immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, responding to it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man is blessed in what he does. Sometimes in counseling, We look at the Word of God and we use the Word of God as the foundation for a way to change, a foundation for to rest upon. and to effect change in our in the lives of the one we're working with. And I remember this one lady came back to me, and I was preparing this already, and it was just like this last week, and she said to me, "You know what it was that really brought about the biggest change in my life was the word." She says, "How could I ignore that? And every time I thought about going back to the old ways, I remembered this scripture that we were talking about." And I said, "No, I have to follow that scripture." And she would not let her mind take her off. That is the power of the word of God in her life. And it changed her life. So far, we need to read the Word of God. We need to respond to the Word of God. But we also need to reap results. We need that 30, 60, 100-fold. So often, and I've already done it, the Word of God corrects us. And it absolutely does. And we may see this sometimes as being critical. Well, I don't want to be criticized. I'm not in the mood to be criticized, so I don't want to read my Bible. And actually, it's saving you from a whole lot of trouble. The Word of God, it's not to correct you to make your life difficult. It's to correct you to make your life better. And it saves you from problems. You know, as parents, we tell our kids, you know, certain things we ask them not to do because we know if they do them, it's going to lead to trouble. One time I was driving with a friend, and she's a dear, dear friend of mine and definitely directionally challenged. And she wanted to drive. We were returning back from Banff. We'd spent a weekend, the three friends had, and we were returning back to Edmonton from Banff. And we got to the first turn, and I says, "You have to turn right here." "No, I have to go left." Now, she's a wonderful friend, but very strong-minded. And, "No, I'm turning left. I'm confident this is where I turn left here." And we were yakking, you know how girls do that. We didn't see the sign, so we weren't sure. And so I said, "Okay, we'll go left." And then we get talking again, and I don't know how long we'd driven, probably about a half an hour down the highway, and all of a sudden I see this big sign, "Welcome to beautiful British Columbia." And I said, "Kathy, I think we're going the wrong way." Anyway, we had a good laugh and turned around. If we'd have listened and watched for the sign, we'd have gone the right way. We could have saved me a lot of gas. But we had a great visit. God's correction keeps us from going far off the path, though, that leads us to everlasting life. However, there's more to his word than just correction. We can put our trust in his word that he has the power to strengthen us. And there's some verses I like to hang on to. And in fact, the other day, I got up and I got a good early start on my day. I had some things, lots of things that I had to get done. So I got an early start. And it's just like one thing after another. I couldn't find a key, then I couldn't find my car keys, and I couldn't find something else. And it was just really, really frustrating. And I was going down the road, and I says, "Okay, God, you cause all things to work together for good, so I'm not going to get mad about this. Can't change it anyway. Just going to trust that this was your plan." And that's a good way to live, just living on his word. But his word can also bring hope. And many times when we're talking about a funeral or a family going through a hard time or we need a healing, we look to God's word to give us hope. And we look for it to give us refreshing. That's why I gave you the wonderful Bronze Berean Club insert this morning into your scriptures, because the word of God can give you refreshing. The Psalms and the Proverbs are just packed full of wisdom and information about who God is. The God of creation and the beauty of God is so eloquently portrayed in the books of Psalms that it's great summer reading when you're sitting outside listening to Mother Nature and just having downtime. It helps us to keep our priorities in check. And like I say, the Proverbs give us greater wisdom. And it helps us to recognize the greatness of God. See, when you get into the Word of God, your love is increased. The more you know about God, if you take him at his word, the more inside you begin to build and be strong and even be joyful and even be more worshipful. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? From age to age he stands. That's in the Bible, the beginning and the end. It's at the beginning and the end of the Bible. And we can sing those songs with confidence, knowing that we're singing truth and it's birthed out of the Word of God. And we're built up. And we're built up when we're facing these lab tests and when we're praying for people. We know that we serve a great God who is able to do beyond what we could ask or think. Galatians 5:22 and 23, the children spoke this word to us this morning. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I want you to find in your Bibles, I'm going to give you a moment to get there, 2 Peter chapter 1. It's right after Hebrews, James, and then 2 Peter, and James is so small you might actually miss it. I'm going to start at verse 4. I want you to bear in mind what I just read to you. What is the fruit of the Spirit? For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. Where are you going to get those promises from? The Word of God. So that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. This is the fruit of the Spirit, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. If you have the fruit of the Spirit and you have the confidence to follow the Word of God, you are going to escape the corruption. Verse 5, now for this very reason, also applying all diligence, this is responding to the Word, in your faith supply moral excellence, in your moral excellence, knowledge. Again, by the Word of God. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, are going 30, 60, 100-fold, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember I said, if you're sitting here and I will never do anything great for God, underline that verse, because if these qualities are yours and you can certainly get them, and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, for he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. It sounds like James again. Therefore, verse 10, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never fall. When I read that, you will never fall, you will never stumble, my version says. When I read that, I thought, I got to go back and read that again. Because this is what I need. I need to make sure I never fall. If you don't have the Word of God in your hearts, you will. It says, verse 9, he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted. And we know that the cares of this world is going to choke it right out. The Bible teaches in and of itself that the days are coming, and I believe now are upon us, when the enemy is going to send a strong delusion. And that many are going to fall away. Who is falling away? Those who don't know the truth are the ones that are falling away. And now if you look at the world and you're a Christian and you, your heart is good, you're good-willed in your heart and you're a believer in God and you're saying, how can I think my God is so great? We're losing every political battle we go in. And in fact, lately, it seems like Christianity is a bad word. You can't be a politician and be a Christian. And if our leaders can't be believers, what's the hope that we're going to be protected in the days to come? This is scary stuff. God is not very strong at all. Remember when we stood up and said abortion was wrong and we got kicked to the curb? Remember when we stood up and we said homosexuality is still considered a sin and we got kicked to the curb? And you look at this and you say, look at the wars. Look at the children that are getting massacred in the middle of this ugly war. Look at the airplane that came down and you're saying God is in control? And if you don't know the word of God and you look around you, you can get so discouraged. But if you understand that the word of God said these things are going to happen and that they have to happen because God is going to pull out of this world and he's taking you with it when he pulls out so that he can bring judgment upon this world, then you get excited. The Bible says when you see these things beginning to happen, look up and rejoice, for your redemption is drawing near. You see the difference? Discouraged. Don't know. How come God is letting this happen? And two, God said this was going to happen. He's coming soon. And he's coming for me. And I got work to do because I don't have long to do it. And you get excited and look up and rejoice, for your redemption is drawing near. That's the difference between a believer who knows the word, and every time you watch the news and you see another prophecy being fulfilled, something in you stirs because you know the word of God. You're not discouraged by it. No, that doesn't mean you like it. It means that there is coming a day when God is going to say enough to sin. Something should come out of your time with the Word of God. There should be some evidence, some 30, 60, 100 fold. Just an interesting little note. There was a little bit added to that scripture I wanted to kind of focus on. Mark 24 and 25, whoever has, to him shall be more given. Just before that it says, "What by your own standard of measure, Mark 4:24, it will be measured to you, and more will be given besides." See, God encourages us. We take that first step, and he blesses that. Pray and respond, and allow God to give you more besides. That Bible reading time that's so hard to find, that to squeeze into your day, you know what? It could turn out to be the best part of your day ever. It could be something that you look forward to. I say get into the Word every day. Now, I understand that you can get busy, and that is not easy to do every day, every day, every day. I mean, we all miss a day here and there. But I'm going to tell you what, if those days start adding together and turn into weeks, and then they start adding together and they turn into months, there's something wrong. And you need to take charge of your life. You are responsible for you. You are responsible for what you do with your time. God gave that to you. It was his gift. The least you could do is give it back to him and say, God, I'm going to give you a portion of my day where I'm going to look into your word. Jesus promises to give you more besides. God always is more generous than we are. There's two factors that are going to affect the yielding of the fruit. One is getting in the Word in the first place, putting your faith in the Word, responding to it. Maturity also plays a part. As we get older, we begin to mature and the fruit becomes more natural, or at least it sure should be. You should be a lot stronger and confident in the Lord, and the fruit of the Spirit a lot more as you grow in the Lord. God should always be working on you. I remember 1 year Dan planted a little tree in our backyard, and it had one little teeny pear on it, and I was so excited. But I was waiting for more, and well, it's not going to give you more. It's too young. It has to grow. And so we moved before I got to see how many that tree would ever produce. But I was so excited for the one, And you know what? God is excited for that little tiny pear, but he's waiting for that tree to grow, and he wants to see fruit. So to conclude, I want a Bible reading revival. I want when the Lord comes, because I believe he's coming soon. I want when the Lord comes that he sees Wainwright and he is impressed. Amen. I want us to stand out as the group that knows the word, where the power is in the word of God. A doctor, you go to a doctor, you say, "Doctor, doctor, I got this problem." And the doctor gives you medicine. And you go home and you look at that little bottle of pills and you say, "Well, how is that going to fix what's going on inside of me?" But you have to take it the way you're told to. Now, there's some funny stories about people swallowing suppositories. You have to take it the way it was meant to be taken. And God's word is just like that. You say, "How is this going to change me? How is it going to fix what's going on inside of me?" I'm going to tell you, you have to take it. You have to take it. And you have to take it the way it was meant to be taken. God's word is so powerful that the very ground that the foundation of this building is sitting upon came into being because he spoke it. There is such power. There is such refreshing. And I will say this, if you have never read your Bible before, do not start in Genesis. Do the Psalms and Proverbs, that's good, or New Testament. But I want everyone in this room today to, in your heart, say, "I am going to read God's word. I want," how many we got in here today? I don't even know. I'm not good at numbers. I want the Berean Club this year to be 50 medals minimum. I want us to have to break the bank to get these medals. I want us to commit. And it's not because I like giving away medals. It's because it excites me when God's people get into his word. I know things happen. I've seen it. I've been a believer for over 30 years and somewhat before that, and raised in a Christian home. I have seen the power of the word of God. I have seen it change alcoholics into God-fearing, wonderful men of God. I have seen drug addicts transformed by the word of God. I have seen all sorts of wonderful things happen in the way of healings by the word of God. That's where your power is. Why would you walk around without power? We need that power. Amen. We're going to close. We're going to sing "Standing on the Promises." Pastor Dan is going to lead us.